a formal and sincere apology to the mothers, fathers, sons and daughters who were profoundly harmed by past adoption practices in Victoria. We acknowledge that many thousands of Victorian babies were taken from their mothers without informed consent, and that this loss caused immense grief. We express our sincere sorrow and regret for the health and welfare policies that condone the practice of forced separations. These were misguided, unwarranted, and they caused immeasurable pain. To the mothers and fathers who were denied the opportunity to love and care for your children, and for the pain and trauma you experienced, we are deeply sorry. To the sons and daughters for whom adoption meant continual anxiety, uncertainty, and the deprivation of a natural family connection, we offer our sincere apology. Today, with all members of the Parliament of Victoria gathered in this House, we acknowledge the devastating and ongoing impacts of these practices of the past. To all of those harmed, we offer our heartfelt sympathy and apologise unreservedly. We undertake to never forget what happened and to never repeat these practices. Mr. Speaker, for all those who have experienced forced adoption, the hurt is never ending. The pain is deep and overwhelming. The tears are private, lonely, and spontaneous, triggered by places, by dates, by events, or by mere passing moments, or by recollections long since weary with self-doubt. And the fear is suppressed, but it is real. And the so-called shame is implied, imposed, and very, very unfair. The blame is heartbreaking, and the resentment is a burden of unspeakable hardship. Mr. Speaker, the basis of these actions remains, even in the most benign light, wrong, disgraceful, ill-conceived, and in some cases illegal. Whatever the emotions, those who have endured the misery of forced adoptions have suffered too much and for too long. There is no substitute for that loss, but today we mark an end to the silence. We come here today to bring together those for whom separation has been a torture. And we do so as one Parliament, united in commitment to apologise to the mothers, to the fathers, to the sons and daughters, and to the families whose lives have been shackled by unhappiness and their long, quiet, unforgiving ordeal. We speak too, as best we can, for previous parliaments. And as one, we say to you all, we are sorry. If through this process we can lift even the slightest weight from your shoulders, then we will, at the very least, know better the way ahead. And that way includes extending our respect, our support, and our love, and committing to ensure such wrong is never repeated. Mr. Speaker, today is an historic occasion for which many Victorians have been waiting for decades. And we all acknowledge and welcome all those who are here today in the public gallery, those watching in Queen's Hall and the Windsor Hotel across the road, and everyone across this state and across this station, across this nation, and I know across the world. Today, the Victorian Parliament is standing up and saying sorry. We know that the practice of forced adoptions occurred from early last century into the early 1980s, but it was particularly institutionalised between 1950 and 1975. During those years, at least 19,000 Victorian children were relinquished for adoption, the vast majority from young, unwed mothers. In many cases, the babies were forcibly removed by practices that were unethical, immoral, and unconscionable. Young mothers were routinely compelled, coerced, and given no realistic choice other than to relinquish their babies for adoption. Their birth experiences were often brutal and highly traumatic. We have all heard or read the many, many harrowing accounts from mothers who were subjected to the use of shackles and drugs or had blankets and pillows placed over their faces. These vulnerable young women were denied information or freedom of choice. They were bullied and victimised by the very ones in whom they were expected to place their trust, including medical and legal personnel and welfare officers. Many never saw nor held their child. They have understandably been traumatised ever since. Sadly, this state did not restrict nor condemn these practices. Nor did the state provide or require support or alternatives for parents faced with a pregnancy out of wedlock. On the contrary, these practices were effectively sanctioned, and in the process, the stigma and harmful social and religious attitudes of the day were reinforced. No financial, legal, or psychological support was provided, and adoption was assumed to be the only possible option for unmarried pregnant women. Forced adoptions occurred in both state hospitals and private hospitals with the active involvement of churches and non-government agencies. Many of these bodies have already apologised for their actions, and we acknowledge the presence in Parliament House today to hear and support this apology of the senior representatives of the church, churches and other organisations who were involved. As a parent myself, I can barely imagine the heartache. And we can only have a small inkling of what was taken from these mothers. They never saw the beauty of their baby asleep, never heard their first words or saw their first steps. They didn't take them to their first day of school or see them walk down the aisle. These children were taken as babies and, if they were lucky, returned for some as grown-up strangers. We know too that intense shame and secrecy often surrounded these pregnancies and adoptions. These traumatised and victimised young women were told to forget about it, never to speak of it, to get on with their lives. And later, particularly at a time of reunification, many found themselves criticised again, this time accused of having given their children away. Mr. Speaker, what was done cannot now be undone. But we do hope that this official recognition and apology helps in some way to lift the burden of secrecy and bring some peace and relief. It is our undertaking today to ensure the lessons of the past are learned and are never repeated. There are very few adoptions in Victoria today, but we don't live in a perfect world, and adoption or permanent care arrangements are still sometimes the best option for some children. Now, however, we recognise that in the instances where it is appropriate, it is critical that adoption is open and transparent, with a child always understanding his or her background, and a capacity for these sons and daughters to connect with their natural family is fundamental. And we now understand that education for adoptive parents on identity issues and full care for birth mothers is also essential. Mr. Speaker, at this time I would also like to acknowledge that not all past adoptions were forced and not all of the outcomes for adopted people were poor. I would like to acknowledge the validity of informed choices and those personal positive experiences of adoption. Mr. Speaker, the Minister will shortly say more about the additional practical actions that the Government will be taking to better respond to the needs of persons affected by past adoption practices. But most importantly, today is about a Parliament apologising. Apologising for the trauma, pain and loss that so many experienced and continue to experience to this day as a result of flawed and harmful government policy. We say sorry for the moral arrogance, for the flawed justification, and for the heartless approach of authorities and institutions. We know these young mothers were terrified, ashamed, and alone. And today we offer them our unreserved apology. We say very clearly, and as one, you were and are not to blame. It was not your fault. We know your love endures and is very much respected. And to the sons and daughters, we also offer our unreserved apology for the love that you too were denied. We acknowledge your lifetime of unknowns. It is our hope that in your hearts there is a place for those who throughout their own lives longed just as much to be there with you. Mr. Speaker, if our coming together today brings you closer together, then our community has taken an important step. I commend the motion to the House.
The Leader of the Opposition.
Speaker, I rise to add to the eloquent words of the Premier and to speak in support of his motion. For decades, cruelty lived in our homes and in our hospitals. For decades, it was sanctioned by successive governments. It was methodical, and it was inhumane. It was performed by trusted members of our community, and it remains, Speaker, our shame. We gather today to recognise the anguish we administered, to honour the thousands of women whose lives we devastated. We gather to comprehend a time when our society failed its most instinctive human duty. Together today, we gather to say sorry. I rise to support this motion of apology to the victims of past adoption practices in Victoria, and I acknowledge those present with us in the parliamentary precinct and speak of those watching elsewhere. I acknowledge those who may read our words in the future as well, and those who are sadly no longer with us. All of you are in our thoughts. All of your stories have struck at a raw place in our beings. And this, Speaker, is their day. This, Speaker, is your day, those people listening. To acknowledge the tragedy you've endured, I must affirm one simple rule. To prematurely separate a mother and her newborn child against their will is to pervert the order of nature and to betray the basic tenets of civilisation. That any government, any profession, might violate this rule is a concept deeply unsettling to comprehend. It is wrong. It is inexcusable. And the violation of this rule is a principal test for the health of any society. Speaker, we failed that test. We failed it when doctors would lull young women into medicated delirium, press them into submission, and undertake the procedure with a cold and clinical urge. We failed it, Speaker, when parents would consign their pregnant children to social isolation or compel them into adoptive consent. We failed it when employers sacked, when communities shunned, when charities snubbed. But most of all, Speaker, we failed it when elected representatives of this state allowed this systematic tragedy to unfurl and thought nil of those it affected. When they thought nil of the practice they enabled or their obligation to end it. And for this, I say on behalf of the Labor Party and on behalf of this Parliament more broadly and, Speaker, without reservation, we are truly sorry for your pain and for your grief, and we are truly sorry for our failure. And, Speaker, we will always remember, we will not ever wear the pretence of denial. We will not attempt a feeble silence. We will always remember, because to forget is to discredit the courage of so many. The many affected who came forward with their stories, who revealed their broken lives, who exposed the acts committed inside our hospitals and institutions and demanded that they cease. If we failed society, then they restored it. Those mothers and children who stood up to be seen and asked us to read the darker chapters of our history. We debate this historic motion today because of their efforts. Yet there were many, many more who, so broken in anguish, they could not bear to divulge their past. We cannot forget those who took many years to relive their memory. And we cannot forget those who are as yet unknown. These are women whose newborns were taken from them. These are women who were given sleeping pills in the safety of a local doctor's clinic and woke up in secure institutions for unwed mothers. These are women who, Speaker, on revealing their pregnancy to loved ones, were told to change their name and to change their identity. These are women who were told by priests and physicians that God had designated them a birthing vessel for infertile couples. These are women who were drugged and pressured until they signed adoption forms. These are women who were expected to wear corsets and were ushered into closets when guests arrived. These are women who gave birth while tied to a bed, who had sheets and pillows affixed to their face so that they never saw their baby. These are women whose only concept of their first child is an infant crying behind a hospital curtain. These women were told to forget it. They were showered and medicated and spat out of the system. They did not feel the cushion of postpartum care. They watched, Speaker, instead as care was taken only to expunge records and to cleanse memories. And a generation of sons and daughters were denied their mothers. Sometimes their children were told their mother did not want them. They were told she didn't care. Sometimes they were told nothing at all. A theory held that with a clean break, mothers would feel no grief and children no void. This theory said that children can be commodities, that mothers can be replaceable. This theory was applied, Speaker, without restraint, but this theory, Speaker, was bankrupt. Mothers are not replaceable. Joe Farmer is not replaceable. Joe gave birth to a baby girl at the age of 18. She told me how, in her bed after childbirth, a nurse brought to her her baby. This was strictly against the rules. She was thankful for that moment with her infant child. She told me how for years she looked for her baby. She looked regularly for children who resembled the infant she once held in her arms. She told me that when she eventually registered to find her child, she was told, "You have a 19-year-old daughter." The word daughter moved her. She had never before felt permission to consider her own child a daughter. The state was obligated to support Jo and her daughter, but it did not. The state failed them. And today we speak to Jo and to thousands more. We speak to those who, unlike Jo, never saw their child, but today we do speak too late. Too late to prevent harm. Too late to recognise it. Too late to avert an illegal practice. Too late to comfort those who are no longer with us, and too late for them to hear the words of our remorse. But we are not too late to help some mothers find their children, and we must do everything in our power in this Parliament to hasten that reunion, and, Speaker, to allow that embrace. Our words today will not heal wounds, but they may comfort those who seek recognition. They may urge silent victims to speak. They may declare that an institution which abandoned so many has finally accepted its responsibility. Today, this Parliament accepts that responsibility, and this Parliament will never, ever forget. Yet this Parliament cannot, Speaker, fully heal any pain, and this Parliament will never fully comprehend the agony and torment of those who we so manifestly failed. This is a day of some significant moment. We hope to write with you a new chapter, one that ensures your recognition and confirms our responsibility, one that offers no justification and pleads no excuse. And so, Speaker, we speak this lasting testament. May it carry our unconditional apology. May it rest forever in our records. On behalf of the Labor Party and on behalf of this Parliament, I say, I am sorry. We are sorry. Truly, truly sorry.
The Deputy Premier.
Speaker, I acknowledge the remarks by the Premier and the Leader of the Opposition on this historic occasion. I would also like to acknowledge the efforts of the Commonwealth parliamentarians who work tirelessly on this issue and have paved the way for us here today. I welcome our guests, particularly the families who were directly affected by this policy and who are here with us. They have waited a long time for this day to come. Today, as Leader of the Nationals in Victoria, I am humbled to offer our sincere and unreserved apology to the mothers, fathers, sons and daughters whose lives have been harmed by the past adoption practices in this state. Thousands of families, Speaker, not just in Melbourne, but right across regional and rural Victoria, including in my own constituency in Gippsland, were denied the opportunity to love and care for their sons and daughters because of policy implemented in this place last century. As a father, one of my greatest joys in life has been to see my three children grow up and blossom into the wonderful adults they are. For parents who were denied this opportunity against their will, I can only begin to imagine the feelings of grief and helplessness, anger and loss they must have experienced and continue to experience. Without for one moment wanting to take away anything from the commitment of adoptive parents, it must be recognised that this misguided and unwarranted policy and these past adoption practices had a detrimental effect on many Victorian children taken from their mothers. Sons and daughters right across our great state experienced anxiety, uncertainty, and were deprived of the connection to their natural family. I was particularly moved, Speaker, by one of the submissions to the Senate inquiry from one such individual who had been taken without consent from their mother and grew up in a small Victorian town. And it appears at page 74 within chapter 4 of the Senate report. And it says, I quote, "I lived in a small central Victorian town where everyone knew everything. So when I attended the local primary school, I was teased. You're not a real ex. Your mum's not your real mum. Your real mum didn't want you. I would go home crying, and I can still remember that to this day. end quote. This individual was only reunited with their birth mother when aged in their 40s, and that time can never be replaced. I know that this apology today will not undo the decades of hurt, pain and grief that have resulted from forced adoption.